Okay, so we're going to do the beginning of Kedoshim. Maybe some of you have, you're not familiar with that. Maybe some of you are familiar with this. I'm sorry, I have an English. I just want to look at the footnotes also while I'm doing it, but I think it's my only English. Okay. Is that English? Oh, yeah. Okay, fine. So the beginning of Kedoshim, basically. Okay. So the pasuk says, "Vayedaber Hashem." It's the Perek Yotas in Vayikra. So Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Leimar. Daber Omnei Israel called Asma Israel Leimar. Now go to Asma Israel and Marta Alehem. So speak to all the Jewish people, all the congregation of the Jews, and say to them, "Kedoshim to you. You should be kadosh." Holy, distinct, however you want to translate Kedoshim. Right? Ki Kadosh, Ani Hashem Alkechem. Because I, Hashem, am holy. Okay? Okay, and then it continues in the list of a lot of mitzvos. Okay? So the question is, what does it mean, Kedosh, be holy? What kind of commandment is that? What's it command them to do? Right? Be holy. What are you supposed to do? So Rashi says like this. Rashi on Kedoshim to you. In the first pasuk, with the second Kedoshim to you. Have a prushim min ha'arayos u min ha'aveira. You should be separate from arayos, from certain serious sexual prohibitions, and also from aveira, from other, presumably other sexual prohibitions. Okay? Yeah. Because arayos is really the reference to like the most serious of sexual prohibitions, which ones have karis for. But there are other averos, like let's say a coming to marry a divorcee, or I don't know, things of that nature, which are lesser or less severe. So I think it means it's a reference to all different sexual prohibitions. Why? He says shekal makom shata motze geder erva, because whenever you find the Torah talking about offense to protect against arayos, erva, sexual violations, atamotze kedusha, you find the Torah also mentions the lashon language of kedusha. Okay, and he cites three examples. It's talking about by a kohen can't marry isha zona v'chalala, can't marry certain types of women, and Hashem mikadosh them, and right away it says, I am Hashem who makes you holy, v'leichal zaro, and he shouldn't just profane his children by marrying certain women. Ani Hashem Ekadoshel. Again, it says, I am Hashem, who makes you holy. Kedoshim Yiyu. And then a few seconds later, he shows on the Chalala. So he's saying, as you see, there's three instances where the Torah is talking about arayos, talking about sexual prohibitions. And then on the heels of that, or in the same parsha, whatever, it talks about Kedusha. So what does it mean when it says Kedoshim to you? He's saying, it means you should be distant, separate, perushim, from arayos. Okay.
Why do you think Rashi on these words was Kadesh Atzvecha b'motzer lach?
That's Ramban.
That's Ramban?
Yeah.
Oh. That was Rashi.
No. So we're gonna get to Ramban. So the question is, so first of all, what's on the surface, you know what he's talking about? Because who's talking about? He's saying, it's not talking about arayos here. So you look further in the parsha, it's talking about other stuff. Not really about arayos. I mean, maybe somewhere in this parsha, I don't even know. But I think he's going on the heels of the previous parsha. Because the primary place where the Torah talks about arayos is at the end of Parshas Achrimos. In fact, that's what we read on Yom Kippurim. The laning of Aymencha is about arayos. And that's where we read it from the end of Achrimos. So the whole end of Achrimos, which is prior to Kedoshim, is talking about many, many different of the arayos, the sexual prohibitions. And then after it says, don't violate them, otherwise God's going to throw you out of the land and all that. And it was a whole lengthy discussion. But then I think, it's saying, Kedoshim to you, you should be prushim from arayos. You should be separate from the arayos. Something to that effect. Right? Because I think he's saying there's connections connected to arayos. So I think he's saying is, finding a theme that whenever the Torah talks about arayos, that's what he's saying, whenever the Torah talks about arayos, it mentions Kedusha. Well, what about here? If you look in that whole parsha on Achremos, it doesn't say anything about Kedusha, as far as I can tell. So where is that? So presumably it means this. This is on the heels of that. So it's like whenever it says about Arayos, it then says Kedusha. And that's what it means when the Torah is telling you you should be Kadosh, it means you should be separate from Arayos. Okay? Okay, so we'll move on to the Ramban in a moment. But any questions on Rashi?
I have a question on the pasuk. It's like kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokim. The language of ki, like, is usually it's an explanation for why kedoshim tiyu.
Right.
So is it saying that the only reason we should stay away from our arayos is because Hashem is kadosh? Like, what does that mean exactly?
Mm-hmm. It sounds like that's part of the purpose, is to emulate God somehow. And God is separate from Arayos, or God is Kadosh, whatever that means. And saying we should do that as well. That's kind of the theme behind the mitzvah. But I mean, that's a good question. I don't want to leave it. I don't want to pursue that right now. Yeah, it's a good question. It's like a whole other line of thinking of, you know, what that means. But, okay? It's a good question. Okay? Any other questions on Rashi?
What's he trying to explain?
What does it mean? What does it mean when it says Kedoshim to you?
Okay.
So he's saying it means you should be distant, separate, removed from Arayos.
But then what does he mean by Umin Haver?
Haver, I think, means other sexual Averos. Like, for instance, a Kohen, these examples of a Kohen marrying a divorcee. So not everything. Arayos is a specific reference, sometimes used loosely to mean sexual prohibitions, but it's not a loose term. It's a term which means serious sexual violent prohibitions, which means serious is measured by the strictness of the punishment, which is kares. There's a list of all the sexual prohibitions. They're not all equally severe. So there's a reference to Arayos is a reference to the ones which are most severe, like mainly the relatives, the married woman, things like that. But other ones are less of a violation. So I think that's what he means. That's my impression of what he means. But I mean, one question you can ask is, what does it mean you should be separate from them? Because I mean, don't violate them? Like, we told us don't violate them. And like, separate was separate how? Like, what does that mean? What am I supposed to do? Right? Like, what is the Torah teaching us by saying this thing, Kedoshim to you? I already know, it warned us, don't do all these things. So it's one thing in the other places, where it says, don't do these arayos, I am Hashem who makes you kadosh. Or, lo yichal zahar avim avin Hashem kadosh. I am Hashem who makes you holy. Or, Kedoshim you, lo yichal, so be holy and don't do this. But here, it already told you all the things don't do. Now afterwards, it's just saying a separate command, be holy, be kadosh. Now, what am I supposed to do? What you just told me to already do? What is the point? You already told me that. So it must be any something. So what's it any? And also to me is like, is the word kadosh really mean exclusively moving from sexual prohibitions? Is that like what the word means? It's like a very limited usage of the word.
Goes back to
the
question.
Right, I mean, that's if it means that. Yeah, and in fact, at the end of Shemini, where it's talking about eating machalos asuros, don't eat certain trefilah foods or whatever, it says, don't become tamei with animals, ki Hashem alekeichem v'hizkad deshtem yisem kedoshim, ki kadoshani, v'lo titam v'snashosechem machalos sharet harmes alarzo, saying, Don't defile yourself through eating these different things, and be holy, be kadosh, because I am kadosh. And don't defile yourself with eating bugs, or sharatsim, whatever, different rodents. So you see, it's not an exclusive reference to sexual prohibitions. At the very least, it's also appetitive prohibitions. So what does he even mean here? Right? That is he saying? Is he saying? Let me ask you this. Is this a question? He's saying is whenever you find erva, sexual prohibitions, you find kedusha. Right? Now I'm asking you logically, is this a problem? Okay? It says, I'm showing you when it comes to appetitive prohibitions, it says kedusha, and it's not talking about erva. Right?
Well, why? I mean, it could just be that whenever you're dealing with heavily instinctual.
Okay, but he doesn't say at least, he just says talking about rayos.
He didn't say that every time you find the word kedusha, you find erva. He said every time you find erva, you
exactly.
find kedusha.
The other logic
works in that direction.
Exactly. Right, exactly. He doesn't say that the two words are synonymous. He's not saying that that's what kedusha always means. He's just saying whenever you find the Torah described talking about rayos, you find kedusha. Now, whenever a sexual person mentions kedusha, if you wanted to disprove that, you'd have to find somewhere else where the Torah talked about sexual prohibitions and didn't say the word kedusha. But it doesn't help to go in the opposite direction, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, but then at the same time, he's saying this here, when it says kedusha to you, then how do you know it's referring to arayos? Oh, so I guess he's saying, oh, because in the end of the previous parsha, it talked about arayos and didn't mention anything kedusha. So it must be this kedusha is going back on the end of the previous parsha. Right?
You could also connect the Yishimura to your own.
You could, but he's saying that you don't find kedusha exactly, right? But like, what's the idea? What's the point? Why is there such a significant tie? It sounds like he's saying that the tie between arayos and kedusha is somehow more is essential than other places it comes up. Whenever it talks about arayos, it talks about kedusha. Why? Really? Why is that so? Right? I mean, this kedusha means a lot of different things, and then why, whenever the Torah can't talk about it without mentioning kedusha? Right? Like, what's the point? Okay, so let's hold off. Let's look at the Ramban, okay? Hold off on Rashi. Let's look at the Ramban. Okay? Okay. So the Ramban is a famous Ramban. Okay? And I'll translate it, okay? So he says as follows. Okay? So he quotes Rashi. Right? But he says, "Avol b'toras kohanim ra'isi stam." He says, "In toras kohanim, it just says perushim to you. You should be separate." And it says, "The pasuk is kadosh tamidim kadosh gikadosh ani." So just like Hashem is holy, is kadosh, you should be kadosh. Just like Hashem is parosh, is separate, so too you should be separate, separate. And he says, according to my mind, separate here doesn't mean like Rashi says, separate from arayas. But rather, it means separate, like it's mentioned in a lot of places in the Gemara, that people who are called Prushim are separate. It's a more broad connotation than merely limiting it to sexual prohibitions. Okay? And what is that? He says, the inyan is that the Torah commands us against arayas, sexual prohibitions, and against eating certain foods. And it allowed a person sexual relations between a man and wife, and it allowed a person to eat meat, and it allowed a person to eat wine, right? So there's certain things that are prohibited, and certain things that are permitted, both in the sexual realm and in the appetitive. Im kein yimsa bal taiva makol nis shatav bezimas. So it's possible for a person who's a bal taiva, for a hedonist, to be totally involved with sleeping with his wife, or nishim arbos, or many wives. Right, because from the Torah, there's no prohibition against many wives. Vilios b'silve yayim b'zole b'salama, and he could be, you know, drinking wine all the time and eating all kinds of meat, and he could be a total hedonist that's involved all day long. Vidaber kitzon b'cholam v'os, and all he could talk about all kinds of lewd types of things. Shalos kuz v'ever Torah, there's no iser in the Torah that says don't talk about profanity, you know, whatever, vulgar things. V'yazah v'chine yenevel b'rshos haTorah. So he could be a novel, how do they translate, like a vile person or a degenerate with the permission of the Torah. Right? So he's saying if you look at the halacha of the Torah, it has a lot of warnings. But it doesn't prevent you from being a total hedonist, from spending all your time and energy in all types of lowly, base things. And a person could be sleeping with a woman all day long and marry a lot of women, could be eating meat and wine, and I guess it's not that hard. right? He'd be talking about all kinds of things, right? Okay, so therefore, the Ramban continues. So purely based upon the laws, the prohibitions of the Torah, there's nothing which will prevent the person from doing such a thing. He says, it's Birishas HaTorah, Lefikach, and therefore, Ba'akas of Azeh, this pasuk is telling you, after the Torah specifies those things which are entirely forbidden, and then it tells you a general command that you should be prushin min hamosaros, you should be separate from those things which are extras, okay, from excesses. Namely, a person should diminish his involvement in the sexual. Like Chazal say that Talmid Chacham shouldn't be with their wives, often with their wives like roosters. It's just like a thing, apparently roosters are. And it says a person shouldn't have bia, but when he needs, for the Kima Mitzvah, again a limited way. And a person should be sanctified with regard to wine, to have an answer, to have a little bit of wine. Like it says by a Nazir, that a Nazir is Kadosh, calls him Kadosh. And the Torah tells us about the evil things that happened with wine with Noah and with Lot. Right? So they drank wine and they got drunk and bad things happened. And it also a person should separate himself from Tuma, from things that are Tuma, even though there's no prohibition against that. But as I say, like a Prushim, people are a certain type of a people who are Prushim and they basically stay away from Tuma Tara. Okay, and you see, a Nazir is also called a Kadosh because he doesn't come near a dead body. Right? And also, the Ramban continues, a person should watch his mouth and his tongue from eating like too much, achila gasa, from picking out, and from speaking about abhorrent topics, disgusting topics. Right? As he quotes the Pasuk, that the Nabi criticizes the people who speak about degenerate things. And he says he should be mekadesh himself with this till he reaches the level of precious, of separateness. Namely, it's like, for example, like it says about Rabbi Chia, that he never spoke a word of betela, sicha betela, like a word of nothing, like idle chatter. Okay, that's like the highest level of kedusha which a person could reach. Okay, so that's he's saying in this and things like this is included in this general mitzvah. After I told you the specific averos which are entirely prohibited, so that not so much so they even included in this being clean, cleanliness of your hands and of your body, like it's is a remez, is a hint to mayim to washing, to what we call mayim rishonim, mayim achronim, is where it says v'skadishtam v'yisem kadoshim, so that you should be holy. Kadosh is a reference to washing hands. To washing, why? Because washing is cleanliness, and cleanliness is part of the overall kedusha, right? She says, even though these things are technically the Drabban, rules, still the Torah is warning you that in general you should be clean and tar and separate from the hamon, from most people who get themselves involved in dirtiness, and they're involved in excesses and in the abominations, right? And he says, just a little bit more, he says, this is a general approach to the Torah. That sometimes it mentions a lot of specifics, and then it gives a general principle. A general principle. Like he says, for example, after the Torah gives a lot of specifics about monetary prohibitions, don't steal, don't cheat, don't defraud, commit fraud, whatever. There's a lot of different things you're not allowed to do. But then it says, you should do that which is proper and up and good, right? Namely, that you should be totally upright and righteous and listen to Mishra, so then go beyond the letter of the law, right? To make other people happy, to be in line with other people, like he says he'll talk about. So that's another example where the Torah has many prohibitions, absolute prohibitions, but at the same time there's a general theme, do which is proper and upright. And he says by Shabbos also the Torah has a lot of prohibitions, don't do this on Shabbos, don't do that, malacha. But then it says, this is a general principle of Tishbos, you should rest. And I look there at the Ramban, he elaborates there, he says, if you just go by the technical rules of Shabbos, you could basically make Shabbos like a weekday. Stay in your house, you'd be schlepping everything around, doing all kinds of work, whatever, you'd be buying stuff, to just go by and not violate the Oraisos, you basically could have Shabbos like a weekday. So that's why he says afterwards, the Torah tells you, Tishbos, you should rest. Right? So I guess he's saying monetary things also. A person could technically not violate any of the official prohibitions, but you're not really being considerate of other people, and you could be a jerk to other people and really manipulating people and whatever, and you avoid all the technical prohibitions. That's what he's saying, is that's a general thing that the Torah does. Is it on the one hand, it lists a lot of particulars, but then at the same time, afterwards, it kind of gives you a general theme. So as he's saying, that's what it means, Kedusha. Kedushim to you. So kind of, right? Oh, and one last line. He says, and notice, that's what it says, after it says, Shama ki kadosh ani Hashem lekeichem, it says, Hashem is holy, it says, that we will be zocha to cling to God through us being kadosh. So that's what he's tying it into that. He's saying, is the reason why he's saying ki kadosh ani Hashem lekeichem, he's saying, is that it's not just tam a mitzvah, but it's saying through this mitzvah of being kadosh, we will be able to cling to God. Okay, so the question is, could we elaborate upon what the Ramban's idea is? What is this command of Kedoshim to you? We should be... And what's really the difference between this? Like, maybe we were talking about this last week. Well, sometimes someone's talking about it. But the idea of, like, we don't add on mitzvahs to the Torah. Right? We're not supposed to add on mitzvahs to the Torah. We were talking about last week about sinyas or something. I don't know.
You know
what I'm talking about. No. Maybe it's at the Shabbos. I want to meet some Shabbos. But basically, it's like, what kind of... It seems like it's saying you should be going, prohibiting yourself from things which are mutter. But what do you mean? I mean, Torah, I thought the Torah sets boundaries and says what's mutter and says what's aser. And now we have to start going beyond the Torah. What do we do beyond the Torah? Isn't that, are we against that? And we say, like, it's important to know what the Torah prohibits and what the Torah doesn't prohibit. And we're making up new laws and new restrictions and new prohibitions, I thought... Hashem told us what's wrong, and that's it. Why are we making up new stuff? Right? So what is the...
And the question is, why is it permitted to drink as much wine as you
want? Yeah, right,
why
right, exactly.
Like,
why
isn't there
the
a prohibition
right.
against that in the law?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. Uh-huh, that's a good point. He said something like that by the monetary thing. He said the Torah can't possibly codify all the different things you could do wrong in a monetary realm. It's like too many things. So the Torah basically tells you certain flagrant things, and then at the same time it says, do what that which is proper. So you can't list everything. And he could argue a similar thing here. But you're going to say, don't drink... Well, there's no parameters exactly, you know? It's like a more of an or general... But I don't know. That's a good question you're asking, but that, maybe that's what he's calling. He doesn't specify exactly why.
Doesn't it help you to... figure out how to manage yourself. Like, you become more holy because you can not restrict yourself, but
right.
Like, figure out how to do something in a way that you make yourself proper, but you're controlling yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right, I hear what you're saying. Good.
So I like how that fits into the whole, like, you know, Ramban is saying anytime that there are a list of halachos, then it gives you like the general category. So what you're saying is, here's the specifics, and now, you know, you're an adult, figure out how to, you know, make that, anything that doesn't have specific guidelines, figure out how to make that general concept part of your life.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Also, you said by listing out everything, you could still technically follow the Torah without, but by then giving the, your own like personal piece to it, it makes it
right.
More. You're more invested.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. So, how would you differentiate this with what you guys are saying between that and like just making up new rules and like, you know, we're not supposed to add on to the Torah and, you know, like that kind of thing, right? Like, you know, people. It's like a thing. They just make up new mitzvahs, and they're being from the Torah, and who told you that this is, you know, like that's like a trend in frumkeit nowadays. They're just kind of frummer than the God, right? And Torah says certain things, and now, and Torah tells you, don't add things on to the Torah, right? And Torah explicitly says that. Don't add on more mitzvahs, don't turn to the right or to the left. There's two ways you could turn, and it's still saying don't do either of them. So, while I hear what your point is, how would you differentiate that?
I thought don't add on more mitzvos is mainly concerned with like creating mitzvos ase. This is specifically talking about adding on. No,
you also can't add on lots of things like that. So the example Ram says about those would be like if the Rabbanan prohibited chicken and milk. And they said that the Torah said you can't have chicken and milk, that would be like batosav. But rather, you have to say clearly that this is the Torah only said meat and milk, and we are worried though that if people are going to eat chicken and milk, they're going to end up making a mistake and getting confused, and therefore it's a offense against that. You know, my point is just to show you, see that the idea of adding on isn't only in the positive; it could also mean the negative. And if you make up and say you're not allowed to do X, or you know. It could also be an extra roll.
That's like the fish and the chicken thing. Like my job, I have rabbis, and they're like, "Oh, you can't have." So people are like, "Oh, I didn't know you couldn't eat fish and chicken together on the same meal." I'm like, "What is the same meal?" Like they're like, "Is that a rule?" Like I don't know. What am I supposed to do? You're not adding on, but you're creating something.
It's hard to eat fish and dairy together.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't
know.
Sorry, don't
eat
fish and
dairy
together.
Yeah.
Fish and
box,
doesn't
it? Yeah. Fish and dairy or fish and meat, either way.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. So there's like three, but not Kalem, right?
No, just that they won't.
Okay, they don't have like three separate meat, milk, and fish.
Well, Kalem, yeah, for meat and fish.
Yeah? The same portion. Oh, that's true. At the same time, though, but not like you have separate, like, silverware.
Not
like a kosher. No, it's like a flay shake. Yeah, right.
But some people take that to extreme. I just had an event. Like, caterer came in, they're like, we can't have this at all because we have to get new plates and a whole new thing. I'm like, what's going on?
Right.
So I don't know the answer.
Yeah. Alright, so that's the question, right? I mean, your point is good, I'm just asking you to see if we could differentiate them, because intuitively you feel like that's not the same exact thing, right? You see why that's not good, and you see what you're saying is good, but I'm asking you to see if you could draw the line.
You could see it more clearly if you just look at it from the standpoint of, like, if the Torah had just said Kiddush and Kiyu, you wouldn't intuitively know, like, what falls under that category. So therefore, like, specifics have to be named. But even if you do it from a framework of the specifics and then look at Kiddush and Kiyu as an overarching, like, criteria, like just the way you behave, then that still has the same flavor as the original prohibitions. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times when there's additions made to the Torah, they don't even have the same, like, flavor. If anything, they're, like, coming from a different motivation or an outlying.
Right, I understand. But, like, let's say, for example, you know, you're in a school, and they try to say the rules of tznias are that you have to wear skirts down to your heels, and you know, shirts down to your whatever, and you know, to your wrists, and you can't wear leggings, and you have to, you're not allowed to wear nail polish. Not allowed to wear nail polish. Right. So, like, I think we're like, what do you mean you're not allowed to do that? You're not allowed to do that. There's a level of tznias where maybe a person would do that, but don't say not allowed. That's not allowed. That's going further. But it's not. It's in line that there is a spirit of the law, like the isha tznua par excellence. Probably would, you know, maybe would be doing that. Would be, you know, but that's not. There's a line. The Torah drew a line, and there's halachos, and there's knees, and there's elbows, and there's the technical halachos, and then there's. My point is to say that, even if you're within the spirit of the Torah, which I think that certainly is in the spirit of the Torah, yeah, but you're pushing the line beyond which the Torah pushed it, and you don't have a right to do that. Right? So why is that? Why do you say, what do you mean? Kedushin to you? Isn't that what he's saying? You know? Hey, Allah? Fuchs is calling Miriam. So, just call her on your iPod or something, okay? Because I'm on the phone.
Huh? Were you just saying that that's Baltosif?
Like, I'm not saying it's officially Baltosif, but yeah.
In the spirit of Baltosif, to set things up like that.
Yeah. I think so, yeah. I mean, don't tell people it's also. It's not also. You want to tell people that you think it's a nice idea. You know, whatever. Yeah, whatever. I mean, I think, isn't that, we don't like that stuff, are we wrong? I mean, maybe we're wrong. Maybe the Ramban is saying that that's correct. You just make, you know. But it would seem, I mean, now you're changing the law. The Rabbanan can't tell people they're not allowed to eat chicken and meat, chicken and milk. They have to clearly delineate and say, this is a get there, it's offended, right?
Kedushin to you is from the Torah, so they could argue that anything that they add on.
Right, exactly, I know, that's what I'm saying. That's my point. So now you could say anything. You justify anything and just say Kedushin to you.
Right.
Right? Yeah.
No, I'm just confused. I mean, I heard all the points that you said, but are you saying a question?
I'm asking a question. I'm saying, what's the difference between what seemingly is the idea of Kedushin
to you?
In
terms of Kedushin to you and extending anything.
Right.
That also applies to Kedushin to you.
Right. Ramban gave specific examples of what Kedushin to you could mean.
Zechagad, yeah.
It could have been interpreted in...
Yeah.
It could be interpreted as, you know, these are specific examples, but I could come up with so many examples, and as the head of a school, I could force all the students to have to follow.
Right.
You know, make up my own crazy restrictions. Because Kedushin T.
Right. See, that one's bigger. That's
yeah.
That's the Ramban. You look at the Ramban?
Is it connected to Togel Besheretz Biyado, or is it not connected to that concept?
I don't think so, not that I know.
Because, like, he does say, Novel Vrushas HaTorah, like somebody who, you know, doing all the right things.
Right.
But I guess
I think that's different. Yeah.
No, what?
No, the Togel Besheretz Biyado is that related, but I don't think it is.
But also, like, Kedushin to you, it means something. It's in the Torah. It's a law.
Right.
I mean, it's a...
Right.
It's something.
Something.
So, if...
But it's very open-ended, though.
Right, but if it's not going to categorize this set of mitzvot, then it's going to be for something else. So, it's not like, well, this is a completely made-up... The way that you could make up, let's say, extensions to tznius, this is not that same thing, because you'd have to find something to bind that to in the Torah.
Kedushin to you.
But there's nothing, like, at least in this case, they're saying it either relates to the parsha before or the parsha after, like...
No, the Ramban's saying it's like a reference to a person, let's say, limiting their sexuality, limiting what they eat, limiting what they speak about, limiting what they have, their cleanliness, like, their, you know, it's like a pretty general type of thing.
Right.
Right, I mean, it's a long. Yeah, I mean, Snias is certainly in the ballpark of sexual things, right? I would think. I mean, he doesn't specifically mention clothing, but it's not a far reach. He's saying you shouldn't talk about vile things. You should, I mean, oh, whatever. It's like certainly in that framework, right?
Yeah, but that's like enough.
I think
the other ones are all like indulgences.
Well, you know, I mean, Pritzis is an indulgence, and Snias is the limitation of that indulgence, no? I mean, it's a question of the line, you know?
Okay,
and another question I have does Rashi deny this? Is this like the Ramban's position, this thing the Ramban's developing, that this is an idea? Does Rashi hold there's no such thing as this? But does Rashi believe that the whole Pasuk is not talking about this? Like, what exactly are they arguing about? You know what I mean? Because it would seem to be, I mean, right now the Ramban, we're having difficulties with him. But it seems in a general sense we get what the Ramban is talking about. And I'm just wondering do we have to think that Rashi simply denies this thing? Or is he like, well, you know, what's the discrepancy between the two? Which is a bigger, we're not ready for that question yet. I'm just saying that if there's another question.
I feel like you could reconcile Rashi with Ramban, but you can't reconcile Ramban with Rashi.
Right, you mean Ramban is more expansive than Rashi. Right, Rashi is limiting it.
Right, Rashi's explanation could be a subcategory of Ramban.
Yeah, so one of the things... Right. Ramban is not necessarily denying what Rashi's saying, he's saying you're being too close. You're limiting it to... Sure, agree. Good point. Right, so that's my question. So what's Rashi's beef? Obviously, right, doesn't the Ramban seem like to be, seems accurate, but the Ramban Rashi seems to have some focus on the Rayas. Yeah. Okay, so could I elaborate a little bit here? Okay, so just elaborate on what you guys started with is that, and then Ramban's point, the main point, is that a person could look at the mitzvahs as like a list of rules. Okay, and if you follow all the rules, then you get lots of points and you win, something like that, you know. And that's you become beholden to the letter of the law. And that is the end game, that you follow, you got to follow most rules possible. And while on the one hand, this is interesting, because on the one hand, that's certainly true, that we are beholden to the letter of the law. And we're not just one to say, oh, it's all just about the spirit of the law. No, we are very medakte, careful about following halacha to its finest details. And you can't just say, oh, well, whatever, I'm a good person. No. A good person means you're following halacha. So we do have a serious adherence to the halachic system in all of its minutiae. At the same time, that's not the be-all and end-all. Kedoshim Tiyu is saying that the mitzvahs have an objective. The technical halacha, albeit technical, has a purpose of creating a certain type of a personality, of a person who's kadosh, who's separate from his physical nature, who's directed towards God, whose energy is going in a direction of where they're flowing towards chachma, towards good midos, towards proper things, and not and removed from physicality. Now, the Torah accomplished that first, primarily through setting up a system of mitzvahs, and the system of mitzvahs will, in a general way, put you on a path towards kedusha. In general, a person who keeps Torah mitzvahs will be restricted, will have less involvement in sexuality, will have less involvement in the appetitive, less involvement in various vices, because the Tevah Halacha puts restrictions in general. At the same time, it's possible to be a novel Bershus HaTorah. It's possible to work your way around it and to technically stick to the letter of the law and still undermine the objective of what the Torah is trying to bring about, which is a certain type of a person. A person who is removed to a certain extent from his physical, and he recognizes there's a higher purpose in life, and he involves himself in the physical as a means towards something higher. So, what the Torah is doing in saying Kedoshim Tiyu is it's saying is yes, the Torah has many, 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 many technical prohibitions, hundreds of mitzvahs saying don't do this, don't do this, don't do all of you, maybe 100 mitzvahs between all the sexual things and all the eating, whatever, I don't know, maybe 50, whatever. It's saying you have all these things. But Kedoshim Tiyu, the purpose is to bring about a certain type of a person and to keep your eye on the ball. And that purpose is not limited to these things. These things help direct you to a blueprint of what the Torah is trying to bring about, but at the same time, keep your eye focused on that purpose. And that purpose lends itself to many, many, many gradations. Okay, there's the baseline of Kedusha, which the Torah tries to set up through the mitzvahs. But at the same time, there's beyond the baseline, which the Torah is telling you, keep in your mind the purpose, to be that type of a person, and strive towards that perfection. How so? The Ramban say a few things, a person to limit their involvement in sexuality, to mitzvah, and they should limit themselves from wine, and they shouldn't have tamei, and they shouldn't talk about whatever, and they should, you know, just wash your hands, and there's many, many different things. But those are all on an individual basis. Those are all a person, the formalized communal kedusha comes about through Tariq Mitzvahs, through the system which the God set up. The sexual limitations are harayos, the halachas of tznias are the halachas of tznias, whatever they be. The halachas of eating are, you know, split hose, chooses God, whatever it is. Those are the technical prohibitions. Now, then the Torah says, but don't just satisfy yourself only with that. That's the baseline. But recognize there is a higher purpose. Each person on his own should strive towards realizing that purpose as they see best, based upon their level of perfection. And you have to know your level. Certain people, for a person who's a plain person, to say I'm not going to, I'm never going to eat, drink wine, or I'm never going to eat anything good, I'm just going to eat, you know, vegetables all day, or whatever it is, or to limit, let's say it'll cover their, till their wrists and their, you know, and their heels and cover themselves in dress, like wear a burqa or whatever it is, that maybe someone could be like that, but that's not normal. That's not the level the Torah demands of a regular person. Maybe there's an ideal that a person could strive towards in these things, and there is an ideal, but at the same time, that's up to a person's individual perfection. As you were saying, that leaves there. That's where each person has to judge what is suitable for their level. So the Torah creates a baseline, but then directs you and points out where there's something else. But then for a school, a this or that, to say, you know what, this is a new baseline. No, this is not a new baseline. You can't make a new baseline. The baseline is the baseline, which the Torah sets for us. Now, an individual could say, that the school could recommend that we think it's a good idea to do this, and we recognize there are people who this, people who that, but don't pretend like this. It's good to know the difference when something's halacha and when something's a chumrah. The chumrah, you could recommend that someone, if you think someone, you know someone well, and you think they should take a chumrah, fine, you can recommend that, but that's not to change the baseline. Well, that being said, still, there is an idea of the Rabbanans. I don't mean to say that whatever the Torah says, the Rabbanan have the right to make a fence, and that's part of the Torah itself says the Rabbanan make a fence. Like, you like the chicken and milk. You don't say, look, the Torah said you're allowed to eat chicken and milk. Yeah, but the Torah also entrusted the Rabbanan to make a fence, so there are certain areas where the Torah, the Rabbanan, saw fit that it was necessary to protect the Torah to make a fence, and that comes under the baseline also, because the Torah guides them to. But that doesn't mean any rabbi nowadays or any principal of school could on their own decide to do that. That's within the strict parameters of halacha, what is a valid extension and what isn't a valid extension. And even minhag, the Torah lends room to minhag, there's a phenomenon of minhag, of an ear to be chumra, have a chumra about whatever it is, that's also a phenomenon, and that's part of halacha. So there's sugyas about what counts as a minhag. Maybe in Nor Tznius, like there's a minhag of a city, everyone in the city dresses a certain way, and that arguably could become part of the halacha. So it's tricky. You have to know. I think it is with regard to Tznius. If a city is, that's the thing. If you live in a country where everyone wears Tznius to their wrist, and you say, oh, look, the halacha says, no, that's defined as prutzos, because in that city, every woman has their wrist covered in urine, right? So that's all part of studying the halacha, and that's why you have to know what is. The halacha is not a simple system, but whatever the parameters of halacha are, whether that includes the deraisa, that includes the rabbanan, that includes minhagim, but minhag also has parameters. Minhag isn't just a free for all. Whatever any group of people says is our minhag, there's parameters of that. But beyond that is the realm of personal perfection, and the Torah. That Torah is saying, Kedoshim to you. Whenever the Torah finishes Arayos, but then it says, hey, Kedoshim to you. Realize it's not the be all and end all that you do all, that you don't do all these things. Don't think you're Yotze if you do all, don't do all these things. Torah still, Kedoshim to you. Torah in general. Well, Kedusha seems to be related to the area of involvement in the physical. Seems. Like his examples are like the repetitive and the drinking and the sexuality. Even the cleanliness is like kind of you're like eating like an animal, like you're, you know, the eating. And even, I guess he has your speech, which is like also speaking about, you know, sexual matters, those types of things. Like I think he's saying when it comes to the money, Torah does this also. Don't steal, don't this, don't that, don't fraud, don't fraudulent, do whatever, don't do revisna. But then it says, so similarly, there are parameters of what's technically the letter of the law. And a person could say, I'm doing the letter of the law. But that's not the purpose. The purpose is to create a person who's committed to justice and concern for other people and how it's right, you know, what's proper, what's right, you know. So there's a technical halachos, but at the same time, keep your eye on the purpose, which is there. There's an idea, there's a concept of yashar and tov. What's proper now, it's not necessarily delineated in the strict parameters of halacha. Halacha can't get down to the minutiae. Each and every case is different, and halacha is limited in what it can and can't legislate. But there is an objective. Shabbos also. The Torah says Shabbos is a yom of malacha. And it says don't do malacha. And there's many things of malacha, but there are plenty of things you could do. And you could ruin the yom of Shabbos. Shabbos will be roughly like any other day. So that's what the Torah says, Tishbos. The purpose is to create a yom of Shvisa. Use your seichel. There's a purpose here. So the Torah can't legislate to a fine degree of perfection. But rather, it could set up a basic framework which points you in that direction. And you have to be very adherent, very rigorously adhere to the rigors of the system. But then at the same time, the Torah directs you and says, hey, there's also a further. Yes.
So I have two questions. One is, how does a person know their level so they know that they're not taking it to an extreme necessarily? Or is that even not an issue that they should that a person might take it to an extreme?
I don't know. It's a good question. I think there is an issue. I think a person shouldn't push themselves more than is reasonable for them at their level. It shouldn't fake oneself out into thinking that you're at a level which you're not. And it's not meant to be. Well, it's very common. People do it. Usually people end up breaking in those situations. It doesn't work. And, you know. But how exactly to know, I don't know. It's a good question you're asking, but I don't know the simple answer to that question. How do you get to be honest, I guess, but it's, you know.
My other question is, every single Nazir had to bring a carbon chatas. So
Yes. It's
not like some of them were on a level to be a Nazir and some of them weren't. Every single one of them had to bring the chatas. So what does that say about Kedoshim Ti?
I know, it's a good question.
Is that a question on Kedoshim Ti or a question on Nazir?
Well, sort of connected, because they decided that they were going to take on upon themselves things that were not forbidden, and that was a chait in some way.
Right, you're saying, why do you need to bring a korban chatas for a nazir? You're saying, the Ramban seems to be saying nazir is kedushan, is a high level. Kedushan to you. So why then is there a chait?
I mean, it might be a chait for specific individuals who were not at that level, but why does every single nazir have to...
person could theoretically not do all the things that a Nazir doesn't do.
Without
a Nazir, right? Okay.
All right. Maybe you don't have to use a Nazir. You can just do it on your own. Yeah, that's true. You mean the fact that you need to make another law?
Something, you're putting yourself into a different framework instead of just being on the level that you're on or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good, you were saying, that's good. There's the stama question, I mean, that's, I guess that's his first point, is there's somewhat of a dichotomy in Nazir, which on the one hand he's bringing chatos, on the other hand he's kadosh. And, like, that's part of the study of Nazir. The Torah seems to be, you know, you give mixed messages about how we relate to a Nazir. So the question is a question here, but, like, however you learn is a question, because even if you learn, let's say, like, the Rambam, that a Nazir is for a person who has an illness, and it's not, you know, and you have to bring a chait because you're painting yourself in wine, and you shouldn't do that. Yeah, but he's called the Kadosh. So it's like kind of, there is a paradox in Nazir, which has to be dealt with by studying Nazir. So I hear what you're saying, but I think it demands its own...
Is it a question on Kedusha or a question
on
Nazir?
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, it demands an analysis of Nazir. Nazir is a difficult, confused, you know, complex issue in its own right. Yes. Good question, though. Both good questions.
I have a different question. So, sometimes I'll encounter people who, you know, are disparaging of people who take on extra things, and, you know, and there is definitely a trend, certainly in this community, of people who,
right,
like, left and right, there's people who aren't doing things, right, and what's going on, you know. But then, I think sometimes people take it too far to the other extreme of, like, it's really just like whatever the, you know, that's not halacha, that's not halacha.
Right. Yeah, right.
And, but, so really there is, I mean, I don't know if Kedoshim Ti, is that a mitzvah or is that a principle? You know, like, it sounds like, right, it's not a technical halacha, but that doesn't mean it's something that you make fun of. It's definitely in the spirit of it.
Yeah.
It's something where you're supposed to be doing. So is that like, is that a mitzvah? I mean,
The Ramban doesn't count it as one of the 613 mitzvahs, if that's what you're asking. But the Ramban's saying that's what the Torah's commanding us.
Right, okay, so, I mean, that's what the...
Yeah, you're supposed to do that. That's what he's saying, is you're supposed to look at the Torah as there's a higher objective which goes beyond halacha. So on the while, the same time, on one hand, you're rigorously committed to halacha.
That's
what it's teaching it. I mean, regarding Kedusha, it's here. Regarding physical involvement in the physical, you know, dimensions of the existence, it's Kedusha. Regarding interpersonal monetary things, it's Vasis HaShatov. Regarding Shabbos, it's Tishvos. So those are just three examples he cites, but I think it's a klal in general about mitzvos. That, I mean, it's an interesting duality that the Torah has. On the one hand, it's emphasizing the ultimate purpose, which is beyond the halachos. At the same time, it's very concerned about halacha in a way that other religions are not that concerned. Is the minutia of following halacha in a rigorous way is a primary importance, which deserves a discussion. I mean, it's a different question why the Torah does that. But it's not saying all the Torah cares about is that you're a good person or that you're a kadosh or you're whatever. No, that the Torah also, besides for the idea that there's a gavro, who's a kadosh, and you're going for a certain type of a person, the Torah also says, don't just like violate halachos and say, well, I'm a good person. Well, I'm a kadosh. No, you're not a kadosh. The Torah sets up a very rigorous halacha. Yeah, neither way. Right, that's what I'm saying. It seems like either extreme is bad. If you say that all we do is halacha and that's it and there's nothing else, and I'm going to look, this is what it's us or what is wrong, and they're wrong, technically it's perfectly fine. That's wrong. But at the same time, if you're just going to say, oh, forget halacha, I'm just going to just be a good person, that ideal of just a good person, a good heart, a good this, a good that, that's also not Torah. So Torah has like a tricky balance where it's concerned about details in halacha, but at the same time, it doesn't want you to mistake the forest for the trees, and you know, you have to realize there is a bigger picture as well.
I once heard that with regard that that Christianity and Islam each took one of those two sides, and you know, completely attached to that, you know, Christianity, just be a good person, and in Islam, you know, all those like rigorous laws, and
that's interesting.
It seems like it should be a tool instead of like. Yes, I could wear a skirt to the floor and feel like I'm whatever, but like, it should be a tool for yourself to keep you from violating by saying like, okay, I'm going to set for myself, I only want one glass of wine, because if I have two, then I start to act silly, it's a slippery slope to keep for myself. I'm using it as a tool versus I'm just going to keep adding stuff because it makes me look like a better person or something.
Exactly,
Oh, it still makes me very nervous because it seems like such a subjective thing. Like, you know, yes, you're interpreting it for yourself in terms of wine, but it's so easy for somebody to come along and say, "Doshim to you, now we're mandating nobody's allowed to have more than
two." Doesn't say mandating, though. It's that you're going from those answers saying to tell other people what they should do is a different point. This is an individualistic thing. You can't mandate the Torah mandates. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about individually. You say, look, I know the Torah says that I'm allowed to drink wine, but I realize that I want to devote my energies more towards Torah, towards thinking, and when I drink wine, I end up, you know, making myself unable to think, and I want to be able to, you know, cut back a little bit. I'm not ready to not drink wine at all, but instead of drinking six glasses of wine a night, maybe I'll try to drink five, or whatever it is, and that's, you know, person has to know themselves, and you realize you're going to go from 6,001 to zero. You're not going to make it. It's just you're not. It's not you. You got to be realistic. And if you try to do these things and they don't work, and then you're doing too much, that's like a good sign. It's like you're not ready to do it. They don't work. It's very hard to fool yourself. Either it's not going to work, or you're going to be very, very, very frustrated. You know, it's like not. There is like you could push yourself in small steps. And that's a way, a general approach. Recognize and why are you doing it. Why are you doing it? What are you trying to accomplish? If it's just because the next guy's doing it, whatever, you don't understand what you're doing, well then it's probably not, you know, you're not getting it, you're not doing this. Doing this because I appreciate the value of being separate from the physical. I appreciate that there's something more important in life. I appreciate that I'm getting my energy too pulled in, and when I do this, I find myself being distracted and my values become corrupted and whatever. Like, you should have a good explanation if someone asks you why you're doing it. Oh, I don't know. Well, then you're not doing it. You know, oh, I don't know, look at them. Everyone seems to be doing it. Well, that's not it. So that's, you should be able, there's certain ways to tell if you're doing this or you're not doing it. You know? Now, does Rashi deny this? So I'd like to say no, because this seems pretty important and it seems to be a foundational idea in the Torah. Right? But I wanted to say, like, I don't have that much longer, but I wanted to say is that according to Rashi, he agrees with this point. What he's saying is that there's a special charge to be a parush, to do this when it comes to sexual matters. Because, that's what he says, purushim min harayos, you should be separate from harayos. What does that mean? It doesn't just mean don't do harayos. If you just say, I'm not going to do harayos, I'm not going to sleep with so-and-so, well then you're probably going to end up doing it because you're going to get too close. And you get too close, you're going to end up doing it. Like, the nature of the draw of the sexual is such that if you don't appreciate its power and you just stick to the letter of the law, then you're likely to fail. So, in the area of the arayos, it's like In general, there's the halacha and there's strict halacha, and person perfectly fine, stick to the letter of law. It's a nice level to strive for more, but it's like, it's totally optional. But it could be, he's saying, is when it comes to arayas, you'll always find the Torah talking about kedusha, 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 prusha, separated, which means you have to put fences for yourself. In this area, more than in other areas, it demands that a fence. But the fence is not merely a fence, which is like a, to avoid a negative. It's a fulfillment of kedusha, of the Ramban's idea. There is a fulfillment in it. It's not just, like sometimes people don't like fences because it's like, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not gaining anything, it's just so I don't stumble. No, it's not just so you don't stumble. The making of the fence itself is a fulfillment of kedusha. But it's still, the Ramban is, the Rashi's learning, you find the, a correlation between whenever it talks about arayos, it always throws in kedusha because it's pointing out to you, in this area especially, you got to be have your kedusha meter on. And don't just make yourself happy with this strict letter of the law, because you're going to fail. It's because of the strong desire to pull in the area.
You're saying the kedusha, the concept of kedusha that the Ramban has?
Yes. Yeah, I'm saying that he has the same concept of kedusha, yeah. But Rashi is explaining first of all why it comes up here. Why is it here? Well, it's on the heels of the parasha of Arayos, and you'll find there's a correlation all the time in the parasha of Arayos, because this Ramban's idea, while in every area it's a nice idea and you should always think about it, but specifically when it comes to Arayos, you should keep this on guard and make this on your radar. Like in eating, if you want, you could just follow, eat kosher, fine. And there's no, you don't have to be a kadosh, it's up to you. But when it comes to the sexual matters, be a kadosh. And like, you know, for instance, like yichud and all the, you know, different things like that, that they're that are set up and they're bond set up or whatever, but the person has to be a chacham themselves and know what's, you know, what's pushing the line, because this area is so strong that you have to set limits for yourself. But the limits, again, I think it's interesting to look at limits not as just a negative or avoiding of a negative, but as a positive. In this Kiram of Kedusha, like the Ramban is saying. So the Ramban, I don't know if the Ramban is necessarily against Rashi, he's just saying that there's a bigger picture here. Don't limit it to Arayos. There's a much bigger picture here. But the Rashi says, yes, I agree, but at the same time, there is a specific reference. It's not accidental that it's here in the Torah. It's not just at the end. It's here because you'll notice the correlation whenever the Torah talks about it, you know? So I don't know if they're arguing as much as the Ramban's talking about a much more big idea, and Rashi may agree with that big idea, but he's trying to explain specifically the juxtaposition and how, you know, how you find it here. You know, but the general theme they agree with. And I don't know that the Ramban denies Rashi's point either. He's saying, but don't, in your commentary on the verse, on the thing, don't just say, that's what it means. It means much bigger. You can't leave that out. You're making it sound like that's what it means. That's not what it means. Yes, you want to explain why it's here, fine, but there's a much bigger picture here. Good. All right. Any questions there on the telephone? Yeah, go ahead.
I'm thinking that, like, when you said you're pulling, yeah, it's very valid and true. But when people first think about it, they think that, oh, they think of something that, no, you know, who would ever, you know, violate these? But I guess what you're saying, you know, it's true. That, I mean, I guess people, if they're not, they don't watch themselves, and that's what they'll come to.
I think so. I mean, I think.
I was thinking the opposite, but then when you said it, I'm like, yeah.
Right.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's relatively prevalent, these types of things. People slipping up, there's that, you look in the world, I mean, you know, it's not, the area is one which is, you know, very prone to people slipping up.
Well, I was thinking when it goes through the specific arayas, some of these, like if it didn't mandate it, then somebody it might not even occur to them that a man can't marry his sister's daughter, I don't know, whatever it is, but like,
that could be, but it could be it's because the Torah already prohibited them all, and they've become, there's like social taboos against these things, arguably because the Torah set them up, and you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm sort of the general area of, you know, the sexual prohibitions. But you're right, but certain ones may be harder to understand than their own.
Certain ones I think are psychologically just like natural aversions, but
right.
Many not.
Right. Right, and often the aversion belies some sort of underlying attraction. Yeah. All right. Sounds good? Okay, so have a good night.